Lord, and we just welcome your presence, Lord. And I just pray that as your word goes out, Lord, we also thank you for the promise that it doesn't return void, Lord. And so I just pray that you would speak to your people, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And I didn't want to wear that crazy thing on my ear to start with, and they made me, and now I have this other thing and wires dangling off of me and all of that. And I have props, so this is going to be interesting. We do props in Children's Church, in case you didn't know.
See me call them.
And if you're talking to your neighbor, I may call your name from the stage. Just warning you. And I'm probably going to spill this all over the place, Robin. You may have to help me
like to
hold
sleep.
My mic or something. I don't know. Yes, she likes to clean. I don't really like to clean, but that's okay. All right.
And I can hold your mic. Do you want me to hold it for you?
Maybe. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
So I don't know about you, but my life is busy. Is anybody else busy? Yeah. Life is full of chores and activities and just things that keep us busy all the time. So today, we're going to say that this jar is our life. And we're going to fill it up with some of the activities that we do all the time. And y'all can help me. If you have any things that keep you busy, you can just yell it out if you want to. Or I'll say some things if y'all are going to be shy. So, sports, yes, that is a big thing this time of year. Practice for the kids and play and then taking them to the games. Or maybe you play. I play volleyball with my husband. It's really fun. And I know there's like adult softball leagues and stuff like that too. So that just takes up a lot of our time, just doing those kind of things. I haven't spilled it yet. And then just the everyday things that we have to do, like
work.
Gotta have money to eat, to feed your family, all that kind of stuff.
Homework.
And like Robin said, she likes to sweep, so clean. Jason's glad about that. Homework. At least it's summer, but I know some people are taking summer classes. Even some of these teenagers are taking college courses and stuff, getting ready. That's not what I would be doing if I was a teenager. I'd be enjoying my summer, but that's okay. I want to go on dates with my husband because I kind of like him. So I want to be sure to do that. And then wait a second. It's good to pray. I'm going to pray. And what about come to church and read my Bible? What's happened here? My life is kind of overflowing. I put all this stuff in here first, and I didn't really have room to fit some of the more important things of life. It's sort of in there, but it's just kind of crammed on top. If I have any leftover space and time in my day, then I might do that. But how many of you know that God wants in our life? And I heard this, it has just really stuck with me until every day. My priorities determine my activities. My activities should not determine these. So our priorities life are, that should be how we choose our activities. Not the other way, right? Sometimes we get it back. We just fill our lives with these things that we have to do. And we don't have time to go important things to this year. Share some scriptures with you. And I'm going to tell you a day that you've never heard. But hopefully remind you of the stuff that you need to be reminded. So I'm going to read you a couple scriptures here. Proverbs 3:6 says, in everything that you do, put God first, and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success. So if we put God first, then he will do those things. And then you guys have all heard this scripture. This was probably one of my very first favorite passages in the Bible, in Matthew 6:25-33. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to read the very top of it and then the very end of it. This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. And it goes on to talk about how we worry about what we eat and what we drink and what we wear. If you've ever been hanging around after church, there's like 20 conversations about, where do you want to go eat today? What are we going to eat? Food is on our minds, people. We've got to make our grocery list. We got to plan out what we're going to eat for the week, when we're going to go out to a restaurant. If we spent half the time thinking about God and talking to God, as we do thinking about what we're going to put in our bellies, we would be close to God, let me tell you. And then clothes. I mean, I personally picked this outfit out like Monday for to wear today, not because I'm crazy, but because I knew life would get busy and I knew Sunday I would just be kind of swirling around like a crazy person trying to figure things out. And I'd be comfortable up here, and I didn't want to wear a dress because I knew I'd be sitting in a crazy chair. So anyway, so I had that on my mind. But on down in the scripture, it says, so don't worry about these things, what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. Things to the Lord. Heaven for all your needs. Seek of God above and live justly, and he will give that you need. Daughter. And sometimes we get so busy trying to provide for ourselves and trying to take care of our needs that we forget that he's our provider. And if we will put him first, he will kill us. Let's try this again. And I put God rock in there. It's my relationship with God. Reading the Bible and praying and going that way and spending quality with my kids and serve all this in there. And I can get rid of this. And I'm going to sit down so I can just do it. And my house and it's a whole lot better. Now that is there won't be that you will start lobby
and it's so hard. I jump into life and I forget to put God first. I begin to for work have life and same relationship with my children, relationship with my husband, they actually start blocking. I just hate that happens. It's like, gosh, oh, they need me to do what? Can't somebody else do that? And I start feeling overwhelmed and tired and weary, and sometimes if it's left unchecked, if I'm being honest here, I'll be honest with you guys this morning, I end up having a meltdown. I do not recommend it, but just in the bed, in tears, crying for no good reason whatsoever. And it's just all because my priorities weren't where they need to be. I was trying to do it in my own strength. And I just always think of Jesus' invitation that he gives us in Matthew 11. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and tired and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden I give you is life. He promises rest. And how many of y'all know a rested mama, rested father is going to be so much better for my family, a rested employee? And so it's important that we do make our relationship with God a priority in our life. And so what are ways that we do that? And so what we're doing right now, this is a way that we make our relationship with God a priority, coming to church. You know, we come to hear from God, to see what he wants. He has something that he wants to speak to us each and every Sunday. And it's so easy. I'm guilty of this. I don't know. This is first service. Nobody else in here might not be guilty of this. But it'll be like, oh, I have a headache. I don't think I can go to church today. I mean, seriously, these little excuses come in. The enemy whispers, you need to do this instead. And so I miss church one Sunday. And then guess what? The next Sunday, it's a little bit easier to miss church. And before I know it, I've missed a month of Sundays. And this time is an amazing time where God does have something. He wants to speak into your life. We need to come to church with an expectant heart, ready to hear. I mean, and I'm always so encouraged, whether it's through the worship or through the word that's spoken, I always leave a little bit better, a little bit more like Jesus. Because isn't that what it's all about? That we come into God's presence to be transformed, to become a little bit more like his son. And so as he speaks into our lives, we're like, oh, yes, thank you. You know, help me to do this better. Help me to live a life that shows your son to others. And also, we need each other. In Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, it says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another. Let's not neglect this. Let's use this time to encourage one another. You know, not only does God speak through the pastors and the worship, but you know what? He speaks through you guys. you know, what is God doing in your life? It is so encouraging for me to hear about what God is doing in your life. And we have testimonies. I love it when we have testimonies on Sundays. And then on every other Fridays, if you've never been to CR, we have testimonies. And it's just so awesome to hear about what God is doing in somebody else's lives. And you know, all groups, there's opportunities to begin to share our lives together and encourage one another. In Matthew 10:27, it says, "What I tell you now in the darkness, shout abroad when daybreak comes. What I whisper in your ear, shout from all the housetops to hear." I mean, when God tells you something, when God does something in your life, you can't help but want to share it with somebody. And that's this life to do, to encourage one another and build each other up.
And Robin, when you and I were talking about this, we talked about our part in chemistry, that we can't just like walk through the doors and expect something amazing to happen. We have to come prepared. We have to come with an expectant heart, ready to seek God, ready to hear what He has us. If we just come in here on our own, we're just kind of wandering around, we're not going to catch up. But if we come ready to hear from God, then I know that He's going to speak to my heart and my life's going to be changed because of it.
Absolutely. Yes.
Robin was talking about how we can just feel weary and tired when we have all these things to do. And I think every person in here has probably felt like that at some time. One of the verses that helps me with that is just that in Colossians 3:23 that says, "Whatever you do, do it from a heart for the Lord and not for people." And I think that if we can have that just tiny little bit of perspective change and think about, I'm doing this for God's glory. I'm not just sweeping my floor to sweep my floor. I'm sweeping for the glory of the Lord. And it can just kind of help your attitude and help you get in the right frame of mind. And coming to church is awesome, Robin. And I'm glad to be here.
Yes.
But it's not enough. It's not enough just to come to church. We have to dig into God's word for ourselves. Sorry. I've got to reach down here and get this. We got to reach down into God's word for ourselves. And it's not an easy thing to start. If you don't have a habit of that in your life, it may not be the easiest thing to do. But it's a habit worth starting. And you do not have to read 10 chapters a day. You can start with one verse. In fact, I think sometimes that if you have one verse that you read and that you think about, meditate on, memorize, whatever, if you're thinking about that during the day, that even may be better than reading 10 chapters that you just zoom through and don't have any idea what you read. So I think just start somewhere. Get in your Bible. And I mentioned illustrations. I've got to have illustrations. And I'm pretty sure that every person in here has a phone, a cell phone of some sort. And they're probably like within a foot of you, if I had to guess. People don't go very far from their phones. For one thing, they're expensive. For another thing, they have like a lot of our life on them, our beautiful family pictures and stuff like that. But your phone doesn't last long if you don't charge it. I charge mine every night before I go to bed. I plug it in so that it's ready to go the next day. And our reading our Bible should be like that too. If we come to church one day a week and that's the only word that we hear, our battery is going to be run out. We're not going to be able to do much for God because we're going to just be depleted. We're not going to have any energy. We're not going to have any power. But the power is in God's word. And we need to connect to that and plug into that daily. And in fact, my phone, if you've heard the saga of my sad phone right now, you know that it doesn't even work right now. It has a problem. It is weak right now. My phone is weak, and it does not keep a charge very long at all. And so it got me thinking about when we are weak. And this phone, I can plug it up at night, and then it might be dead in 5 minutes after I unplug it. But it has to be plugged in. I have to plug it into a power source and keep it charged, and then it works. So that got me thinking about when we are weak. What I want to do, Robin, is to retreat. When I'm feeling weak, I go turn the TV on, something like that, where I just don't have to think about it, where I can just push my worries aside and just focus on some fantasy world, really. But just like my broken phone, I need to be plugged in even more when I'm weak. I need to be tapped into Jesus, into His word, and get that power. And plugging in like that made me think of John 15:4, when they're talking about the vine and the branches, and it says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. So we got to stay plugged into Jesus. And the word of God is awesome. I just want to read you a few scriptures about what it says. In Hebrews 4:12, says that the word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any double-edged sword. There's power in God's word. And Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He shines for us and shows us where to go. Joshua 1:8-9 says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything that's written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. We did a lesson in children's church, I don't remember when, a few weeks ago maybe, about meditating on God's word. And we talked to your kids about how to meditate on God's word. And we used chewing gum as an example about how it's hard at first. You have to chew into it and you release the flavor. The good thing about God's word is the more you chew on it, the more flavor comes out, the more power comes out. It doesn't lose its flavor like bubble gum does. But so there is power in God's word. Tap into that. My daughter Ella, she struggled with fear from a very early age. Like, I mean, just fear attacked her. She was afraid of any sort of living creature, humans included. If you've been around her, she's a very selective child. She needs to really know you before she's going to probably give you the time of day. But she was terrified of animals, any sort of animal. Like, if we went to someone's house and we didn't know that they had a dog, and we opened the door and there's a dog, I mean, she would climb on top of my head. I mean, she was just terrified of lots of things. When she got to where she was really, really, really scared, she was just terrified. She would come crying and screaming, and she would not stay in her room. She didn't want the lights off. She was just terrified. And we dug in to God's word, and we prayed God's word over her. And we heard around her bed. That may sound crazy to some of you, but we did that. We put it around bed. We put it on her door. And we were involved. We taught her script about what God says about fear, that we shouldn't be afraid. And she even added her own thing. In fact, somehow the little sticky notes surfaced recently, because this is a long time ago. And the kids wanted to put back on the wall a little note where Ella wanted, she wasn't old enough to write it herself, but she wanted me to add it. And it said, no, no, devil. And so we had to add that to the little stick. So they went back on the wall. But I think that's important to get the word into our kids as well, and to teach them how to use it at an early age.
I love that. I'm reminded of that scripture. I don't know exactly what it says, but it's in Deuteronomy that says, you know, write the scripture on your doorpost and talk to it about with your children. And so there's power in doing that. When I think about our relationship with God, I was thinking about, we've talked about church and the Bible, and that's how God talks to us. You know, that's how he pours into us and lets us know what he has to say. And prayer is also a very important aspect of our relationship with God. And that's how we get to talk to. That's how we get to come to God and pour out our hearts to God. So important. I'm reminded of a time when Jason was in John 16. We wrote letters. So we were always writing each other letters. And I wrote a lot more than he wrote. And I was always so excited to get letters from him. And I remember one week I did not get a letter from him. And I was just so crushed. I was like, oh, I really was looking forward to hearing from him. And I remember God, it's one of the first times I've ever remembered God just specifically speaking something to my heart. And he just said, Robin, he's like, that is how I feel when you do not. And he's like, I love to hear from you. I love for you to come to me. I want to hear about your day. And there's a scripture in Psalms 37 that says God cares about every detail of our lives. You know, he wants to get involved. And so we can go to him in prayer, and we can share our doubts and our fears and just pour it out to him. And he hears us. You know, prayer acknowledges that, you know, I can't do this on my own. I don't want to do this on my own. Even if I could do this on my own, I don't want to. I have tried to do it on my own, and it does not work. And so prayer acknowledges our need and dependence for God and invite him into our lives. In Ephesians 6:11, it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. This is where our fight is against. We can't, there's this world that we can't even see. And so when we go to God in prayer, it invites His power that we can't see to work in our circumstance that we can see. It's so easy to get focused on my problem, my circumstance, my issue. And so when I talk to God and go to Him in prayer, it shifts my focus to Him and His faithfulness, who He is and what He can do in my life. And as my focus shifts from my problem to Him, my perspective changes. How I approach life changes. It's like, oh, wait a second. God is with me. God is for me. You know what? I can face this because I'm not facing this alone. I just think of so many scriptures, you know, God is for us, then who can be against us? Let us look to God for help. In Psalms 121, it says, I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And so when we go to Him in prayer, it just takes our focus off what we have going on and onto Him. Prayer is just, it's so important. It's about connecting with God on a very intimate and personal level and just inviting Him in to our everyday lives, our every moment lives. You know, we can talk to God down the road when I come to a problem at work and things aren't going right. Lord, please help me with this and be with me. So it's just our daily communion, our daily relationship with God is experienced through His Word and then through our prayer with Him. I don't know if any of y'all have seen the movie The Shack yet. It's a very good movie. But I just love the picture of Mac, he's the human, where he's sitting there at the kitchen table, and God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and they're just all sitting there. And Mac is just, they're talking about his kids and his wife. And I mean, it's just a conversation that he's having with God. And that's you know, just talking to God. Sometimes I think some of us can feel intimidated by prayer, and it's nothing. It's not meant to be intimidating. So I just think a prayer, it's important. It draws us closer to God and keeps us connected to Him.
So. Absolutely. Very important to do that. And if you don't know what to pray, I mean, the name of Jesus is just all you have to say sometimes. Or get in the Word and pray scriptures.
Absolutely.
And they build you up. I mean, God's Word is just awesome. But anyway. And the next priority for me is for my family to serve God. The scripture in Joshua 24:15 says, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And I realize that there are some people have a husband and kids. Some people are single. Some people are divorced. I mean, there's just all kinds of family structures that we have in this church. But our priority should be for our family to serve the Lord. And my next, since I am married, my next priority is to my husband. And Joe and I just celebrated our 16th wedding anniversary on Friday. I know that's a big number to some of you and a really small number to others. So we have lots of years left to go, but we're proud of what we've accomplished so far. And it has not been all rainbows and fun. There have been some tough times and some times when we did not get along. But that's okay. We're still together and we're still kicking and we're making it through it. So I wanted to actually read you some scriptures today about the kind of wife to be. And the Bible really kind of has a lot to say about that, but I'm just going to read about three of the scriptures for you. Proverbs 12:4 says, a wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones. That is quite a word picture. I mean, just bones are decaying because of the kind of wife that you could be. Proverbs 21:19 says that it's better to live alone in the desert. Desert doesn't have any water, no food, let's look up, than with a quarrelsome, complaining wife. Proverbs 27:15 says, a quarrelsome wife is as annoying as a constant drip on a rainy day. Have you ever had a leak in your ceiling or something and it's just leaking every time it rains? That is very annoying. That is the way that it says that a quarreling wife is. And so I'm sad to say that I have been this kind of wife before. Guilty of that. Try not to be now, but you know, there's days when it happens when I think, oh, he just can't remember that. So maybe if I just tell him over and over and over again, maybe he'll do it. Probably, if it were me, just to be honest, if it were me and somebody just kept on, I'd probably not do it just because they kept hounding me about it. But that's maybe another character flaw that I should talk about another day. But anyway, so I have been there and I have done that, and it's not a good thing to be. It's not a good way to be. And our marriage is not perfect. Joe hurts my feelings sometimes, and I'm sure that I hurt his feelings sometimes. But what I have to know is that he doesn't do it on purpose. And so I can choose, when he hurts my feelings, to drag it out and nag him about it and complain about it and gripe. Or I can choose to just forgive him and move on. And something that, I mean, I've heard it a couple of different times, but I think it finally sank in for me, Robin, is that our spouse is not meant to meet all of our needs. If I'm looking to my husband to meet all of my needs, guess what? I'm going to be let down every single time. He does help me, and he is an awesome husband. But God is the one that we need to turn to meet our needs. So if we're both turning to God to meet our needs, then we can just enjoy each other's company, our companionship, and be helpers to each other, not trying to get that person to meet all of my needs. Because, like I said, we'd be disappointed every single time. So now what the Word says about the kind of wife we should be. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Proverbs 18:22 says that he who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. And so a few of those scriptures mentioned noble character. So I had to look and see what noble really meant. And what it said, the definition of noble was high moral qualities of superior quality or kind, excellent. So that's the kind of wife that I should strive to be. I'm sure that I'm not there, but I'm going to work on it. So, and then I randomly came across prayers for a husband, things that you can pray for your husband. And there's actually quite a lot of them. But this one kind of brought me to my knees and humbled me a little bit, I think. So I would like to share that with you today, and it's a prayer for the husband, but really it's a prayer for me too. And the title of it is Transform His Wife. And I'm going to try not to cry because, like I said, it's just very humbling, and so every time I've read it, I think I've teared up. So, okay. And since Joe is my husband, I'm going to pray his name here. You have promised Joe that a wife is a gift from you. I want to be an excellent wife to my husband, one who is consistently bringing him honor. You know every one of my weaknesses and how they are impacting my role as Joe's helpmate. Lead me, Lord, to recognize the ungodliness hiding in my will, my expectations, and how I express my emotions. I want to surrender them to you for healing. Show me where I'm investing my attention in things that will deteriorate my relationship with Joe. Let the power of your word transform my motives. Coach me relentlessly to be a wife who respects her husband in word and deed. Cause your tenderness, gentleness, kindness, and humility to be my own. I want to be a content wife who does not harass my husband with quarrels and fretfulness. Please use me to create a peaceful home for him. Use me to encourage him, bear his burdens, reflect your extravagant love for him. In Jesus' name. I just felt like that was a very powerful prayer. And that's even something about praying. If you don't know what to pray, there are all kinds of other prayers that you can just find. And this one has all kinds of scriptures listed throughout it. So I think that's pretty awesome.
Yes. Amen. I love that because, you know, God does use us in our relationships with our spouse, in our relationship with our children, and as our relationship with God is growing, we get to influence them, hopefully in a positive way. Hopefully we're pouring into them and transforming them. Another relationship, a priority that is important, I think, is our relationship with our children. Kids are important. It is such a... It's scary to think that God has trusted us with helping him raise these children. And we have so much influence and so much impact in their lives. And when I think about my relationship with my children, I just think about how different they are. They are so completely different. And so no one is going to know your child like you know your child. No one's going to know his or her personality, his strengths or his weakness or her weaknesses or strengths. And so your relationship with him is so important. God has our goal in raising them up is for them to know Christ and for them to carry their message out, whatever that is, the message of Christ into the world. And each path is so different for the child, each child, because they are so different. Although we do want them to know Christ, how they get there, that's why our guidance and our training up and helping God train them up is so important, because their strengths and weaknesses are so different. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are God's masterpieces. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things he planned for us long ago." Your child is a masterpiece, and he has plans for each child, and we get to help shape them into who God wants them to be.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that is, it really makes you think about God trusted me with these kids, and I very much failed him a lot of the time. But I want to read for you Proverbs 22:6. And we actually just put this scripture by up in children's church back there. So, and it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And if you remember your grammar lessons in school, that sentence has an implied you. You are the one that's supposed to train up the child. And train is it's a verb. It's an action word. It's not something that's just going to happen on its own. You have to be active in that. You have to be purposeful in that. You have to make sure that your children know about God, and you have to instruct them in the ways of the Lord. And especially when your kids are young, I feel like that we as parents have a very strong influence in their life, especially then. When I became a mother, when I found out I was going to be a mom, I was really excited about it. And then for some reason, when I found out I was having a little girl, my whole kind of view of it changed. I kind of was just like, I don't know, jaw dropped open, and it just overwhelmed me to think about that this little girl is going to look at me to see how she needs to act, to see how she needs to view herself. And that was a big deal for me, because I struggle with looking at myself and pointing out every negative thing. And so that was a big deal for me. And I still struggle with it. I'm not going to tell you that I've overcome that, but I am overcoming it, and I'm working on it, and I'm doing way better than I used to. And so I try very hard to model that for her and to speak that into her life. I tell her all the time that she's beautiful on the inside and on the outside. And last night we were eating very unhealthy food at McDonald's really late at night, like we shouldn't have been doing, but there we were. And my kids, I don't even know why, but they just started talking about how they would describe themselves to someone. I don't know why, really. But Owen, of course, was talking about how funny he was and all this kind of stuff. And Ella said that she was beautiful and that she was fun, and I'm sure other stuff. But those were the two things that really stuck out into my mind. And it just made my heart smile to see that she thinks of herself that way. And I hope that she keeps that in her mind forever. And she's also has a very giving spirit, and I hope she keeps that as well. So.
I just want to close with a story about my daughter, actually, too, because life is hard. I mean, every family, we're all going to face our own trials and our own struggles, our own weaknesses, and it's hard. And when you see your child struggling or your spouse struggling, you just want to, you feel so helpless. I just want to fix it, and I can just feel so helpless. And so one of the first things I start doing is start talking to God. You know, Lord, we need you. We need you and to come and to work like only you can work. And so one of my children has struggled with reading since like kindergarten. And it's just been a battle. It's just been hard for her. You know, she's so super smart. She's so amazing. But for some reason, this is her struggle. And so for the past 5 years, I have prayed. Some of y'all have prayed with me for her. And I have just prayed for her. And you know what? she can read. She's worked really hard to learn how to read. She has worked harder than anybody I could imagine. And God's grace has met her there, and he has been so faithful for the past 5 years. And I know he's going to be faithful for the next 5 years and the next 5 years. And so I was talking to her, and I was like, do you mind if I share about that? Because I just want to share how I have prayed for you. And she said, you know what, Mama? She said, it doesn't really matter who knows. She says, because it's nothing to be embarrassed about. And in that moment, I was just like, thank you, God. Because it doesn't. Her weakness does not define her. You know, she knows that who God is, and that he is with her, and that he is working, and that he is carrying her through. And so, you know, a lot of times God don't answer. I wish that he would have answered my prayer like I wanted him to answer, and that she could just instantly be a super in love reading and everything be great. But you know what? He answered with himself. He's there with her. He's carrying her through, and he's going to see her through. And so sometimes his answers are way better than what I would want. And so I just want to encourage y'all with that, because regardless, because it's hard. We are going to have families. We're going to have hard times with our spouses. We're going to have hard times with our children. But God promises that he will be with us, that he will never leave us or forsake us. And so you may have children that are far from God right now, or kind of going down a path, or your spouse may be going down a path. And so I just want to pray for us. I just want to pray for our families, and then can worship. So, or yeah, okay. Lord, we just come to you. I lift every family up in this room, every mother, every father, every grandmother, grandfather, Lord, and I just, you know every circumstance and every need, Lord, and you alone can meet them and fill them, Lord. And we just thank you for your promise that you are with us, that you never leave us or forsake us, Lord. And I just pray that you would continue to help us to put you first, Lord. Help us to want you more than anything else, Lord. And as we seek you, Lord, that you would continue to just guide us, guide our families, Lord. We just love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
And while I have the microphone, I'm just going to remind you guys that today is the last day to sign up for church camp. So if you have not got your child signed up yet and you would like to do that, Miss Barbara will be at the camp table, I hope, and you can get them signed up. And also, if God lays it on your heart and you would like to give a scholarship, I think we're needing a few more. I'm pretty sure that we've used all, if not almost all, if not all of our scholarships, and we still have a few kids that are needing scholarships. So if you would like to do that, Ms. Barbara can take care of that at the camp table as well. Thank you.
Give these ladies a hand. You know, one of the things I appreciate the most is the honesty and the openness. You know, in our family matters, what they spoke about today is priorities. So let's examine our priorities in our homes and in our families and see what comes first. See, I had to do a priority check today. Today, I could be working right down the road here, making really good money. But what's a priority? Right here. Church. It's a priority. You know, I can accredit two things for my marriage making it: God and my lovely wife. That is why my marriage is what it is today. So thank you for being a part of this worship experience. You are dismissed.